This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
I got that nerd rage. Nerd rage. I got that nerd rage. Nerd rage.
From comics and games to movies and TV, this is the Nerd Show on 1310 KFKA.
Nerd rage.
Nerd rage.
Now here are the nerds.
Happy Nerds Day, everybody. The Nerds Day has actually changed days now.
Yeah, it's Saturday. So could it be a nerd's end? Like a weekend? Can we claim the whole weekend for like nerd weekend?
I don't like nerd's end. It sounds like the end is coming to
nerds. Yeah, that's true.
That sounds dark and diabolical and dangerous.
And ominous.
Yes. I was going for D's, though.
Oh.
D's. D words.
Yeah.
Dastardly.
Dastardly.
It is no good.
Welcome to the Nerd Show in our new spot. We've got Scott, Micah behind the glass. I'm Nick Kenny with a special guest, Bobby Johnson. Bobby, thanks for joining us in the studio.
Yeah. Great to be here.
Should we share stories on how we all know Bobby?
Sure.
Bobby knows us.
Sure.
Go ahead. It's just you two. You're the connecting.
Well, we're all members of the 501st, and so the Star Wars Costuming Group, and, you know, met Bobby, I don't know, a couple years ago now?
Yeah, it's going on three.
Yeah, it could be. And, you know, Bobby was a new recruit, all full of excitement and all excited to troop, and here I am, the old crotchety old guy, and so he's adding a little life to my involvement, and I'm providing some realism to his, so.
There you go. How harshly.
No, it's all good.
I think I met Bobby through, of course, you, Scott, and not necessarily the 501st. I don't think we've ever trooped. Maybe I was a handler at some event. But
potentially.
Patch trading was where I first – you wrangled me into a patch trading event in – that was at the old location of –
the old Grimm Brothers.
Yes.
That was before the Rockies game that we went to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was.
And then, Bobby, you became like part of the NoCo squad. I don't mean Snowy Rain squad. I meant like the nerdy squad here in Greeley. And we watched every episode of Ahsoka together.
We did.
It was great.
At least we each took turns hosting and making dinner.
I was throwing things in the background, you know, when we were doing a the Nerd Show reprise.
Yes, we did the video,
Yes, at the live.
Yeah, when we did the live feed.
That's right.
Season opener, or was that the season finale, or both?
I've slept since then, and I'm old, so I don't remember.
Well, it's great to have you on today, Bobby.
Right on. Thanks,
welcome to the Nerd Show.
We'll have to talk a lot of Bad Batch, because there's been quite a lot going on there, and Bobby's very much involved and caught up.
All good.
Bobby's, I think Micah is too, so I think we've all got some involvement there.
I am caught up.
Nice. See?
Bobby, have you been bewildered by the Bad Batch?
It's been awesome. It's great to see Rex coming out of the blue.
Are we just doing alliteration? Is that what we're doing today?
Well, I can try to stop.
But you won't.
It depends how much wit I have.
Not a lot.
Not enough. Oh. Well, let's get into Bad Batch. We're about halfway through the season, aren't we? Do we know how many episodes
there's going? Four 12? Or five.
Five left.
There's 15 episodes?
12? That's pretty substantial. They have it seems like a lot to cover in not a lot of time. They did, you know, if we go back to the first few episodes of the season, a lot of them stacked, of course, with that first, like, triple release, I think.
15.
That seems like a lot, so we're about halfway through.
And I think this week we get two.
I thought we did a couple weeks ago also. We did.
Yeah.
I know we did.
That was a bit unusual. And I'm not upset by that, especially if the stories tie in well enough, but they're not trying to extend the episodes to a full 40 minutes, you know, keeping it within that 22, 28-minute timeline. I felt like they'd started tying things up and got the batch back together again rapidly early in the season, and now we just get one of the greatest, I don't know if I'd say villains, I mean she is a villain, of Asajj Ventress.
Yeah.
with a different colored lightsaber than we've seen her with before. You know, she was Count Dooku's apprentice. She was heavily featured in the Clone Wars animated series. And I don't know if it's canon any longer. She dated a Jedi. I don't want to say date, because you don't date in the Star Wars universe, but she was intimate with a Jedi. Is that still canon, or is that no longer canon? I can't remember.
I'm
Dark
sure
Disciple,
that,
right?
Dark
that
Disciple,
was, was. Is that official? Is that canon still?
I believe that that is now legend.
Dang it. That was a good book.
Quinlan Voss, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we haven't had much. Yeah.
Well, anyway. It will have been 4 days ago since we're recording before it. But yes, tomorrow there is a 2-episode drop again.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It is being predicted that it is going to bring in a attack by the Empire to come and try and take Omega off of the planet. What is it? Pantu or whatever it is.
Mm.
Pantu. I believe that's what it's called. Yeah.
According, I'm reading this from the internet. According to the company, Dark Disciple Star Wars is still canon.
Oh.
Ooh, all right.
Wow. See?
So then that could be a good indication of where they've taken her storyline.
And part of that was just to understand, how is she still alive, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's more of that story to come.
And, well, she's very skeptical. She wants – I don't know what she wants. Asajj was always a very interesting and fascinating character. I would love to see her in live action.
Yeah.
And, you know, who would, you know, possibly portray her in live action. But I don't know. Where did we leave her off in the Clone Wars? I mean, she was left for dead.
She was left for dead, yeah.
Right. And so she was left for dead towards the end of the war.
By,
and
was that Palps or Vader? No.
No, that was...
Dooku.
Dooku.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Dooku had left her for dead. He was told to get rid of Ventress.
Mm-hmm.
And that's if Dark Disciple follows, you know, she was already kind of leaning more toward the moderate... we'll just say her lightsaber wouldn't shine red as much anymore, like it didn't in this latest episode. It was more of an orangey, yellowish.
Yellow, yeah.
Yeah. Not quite the white that we get with Ahsoka, who's, you know, at one with her own unique force interpretation now. But it's a little subtlety that there's still a little red simmering inside Asajj's veins.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I really feel like we're going to get more of that understanding with yellow and orange lightsabers in another Star Wars, you know, live action coming soon.
Well, we've been reintroduced to Rex again. We got to see, who was it with the one eye? Who was, he was in the Clone Wars. He was working with Rex.
Gregor?
Yes. Got to see Gregor.
Wolf and Gregor.
Yeah. Which I think that was our first time seeing Gregor, I think, ever in the Clone Wars or in Bad Batch. What happened? We have, 7-8 episodes left of this series?
Well, 10 and 11 dropped this week. So, and if it's a 15-episode arc, then we've got 6 episodes.
Oh, so we are. Oh, gosh, we have gone through a lot. I'm thinking of weeks about of how long the show's been out, not necessarily the episodes.
Well,
stacked.
And remember, they dropped 3 episodes the very first week,
right.
And then we had a 2-episode drop a couple of weeks ago, and now we get another one this week. So
is it going to end the week of May 4th? Is that the timeline?
It's right before it.
Yeah, I think it's the weekend before.
Yeah.
So,
or the week before.
Oh, that's it's on a Saturday this year, Kentucky Derby. Well, we'll get to that later on. Bobby, just your interpretations of The Bad Batch, where it kind of ranks as far as new stories and tales in the Star Wars universe now.
I think it's been a wonderful way of pulling in all of the stories, whether you're into Rebels or in Clone Wars and all these characters that have been, you know, at the top of people's minds for many years. Now we're pulling all of this in, and then also, you know, some new things with Omega and what's going on with the M count, like we've been talking about, and so we're just basically pulling everything together to see what happens with this, you know, this 99 force.
Do you think we're going to figure out why Omega's blood count is different? What, I mean, if she was a pure clone of Jango, I they've had women clones of Django, as we've seen,
right,
and been introduced to. It can't just be as simple as, well, this one's been unaltered. So, I mean, if that was the case, they probably would have figured that out earlier on and made a lot more of Omegas. Who was doing something they shouldn't have been or maybe should have been doing, which is why Omega's different? Do you think we're going to get that explanation this series?
I think Asajj gave us that in the last episode where, you know, she's like, I've never heard of a clone being force sensitive before. However, with there being millions of them created or over a million of them created, I guess it's possible. And, you know, we could go all the way back to Jurassic Park and Alan Grant and, you know, life finds a way. And so I think that could very well be the case. I know that there's been some speculation of going like, well, you know, if there was a major character died or something else happened, then, you know, was that, you know, the force creating some sort of balance? And we don't really know. But I think that the idea is simply anything can happen.
Do you think for that energy, the life forms created, somebody major died and then it got to Omega, that had that, not one of the other clones, not the, one of the, do you think the acceleration, just, maybe the midichlorians, I said the M word,
there you did,
will bypass a genetically enhanced being,
yeah,
like a clone, to find something that's pure?
Well, I think they're genetically altered, so I think the, you know, the element of all of that would probably preclude the midichlorians from choosing that as a host, if you will. So,
Well, we will stay on top of it because that's what we do here at the Nerd Show. We'll have to navigate and find where we how we tell our stories, because we'll be a little bit behind. We'll figure this out.
Yeah.
We'll do our best. Stay tuned for more of the Nerd Show. We'll be right back after this.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to the Nerd Show with special guest Bobby Johnson. Bobby, before we go into more, well, other nerd things going on, how did you find your way to the 501st? What was it for you in
was
Star
it a map?
Wars? Of course, yeah, it was. With special ink.
I have to give all the credit to my wife, actually. So it was something I'd heard about, something I had always wanted to do, and been a huge Star Wars fan since I was 7 years old, right? You know, when I saw Star Wars in the theaters, you know, A New Hope. But we were actually watching The Mandalorian, and they were showing the 501st, and my wife looked at me and she said, "Why aren't you in that? You're like the biggest Star Wars fan I know." And I went, "Oh, you're right. I should be in that." And the rest is, you know, history.
How did you know it was the 501st? Because toward the end, the last couple episodes of season one, they did use 501st members to be Moff Gideon's stormtroopers. So did you follow the 501st beforehand and knew, hey, that was them? Or are you one of those really diligent credits watchers that wants to pick up on everything?
Well, I'd known about the 501st for years, and it was something I'd encountered them in a couple different events where I was there. I'd always wanted to, you know, do some, but at that point, I'd never built a costume and never, you know, made a helmet or, you know, I didn't have a 3D printer. And since then, I've actually been able to, you know, make my own costume. I was able to get it my own TK, so my own stormtrooper, and I spent about 18 months building my Din Djarin. So, like, you know.
More people know him as the Mandalorian.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. With Grogu.
Yeah, they did a really good job in kind of the behind the scenes and the kind of the making of, giving credit where credit was due. And a number of the 501st members were interviewed, you know, kind of as a part of that show. And so they really got to give credit to, you know, Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni and having them come in to do that. And so I think the story of that existed in a very specific, tangible space. I don't know if you went to Celebration Chicago in 2017 or 2019, whichever it was, when they did the reveal for that. But that was pretty cool. And
yeah, I had heard it all about that.
Yeah, so I think there's some insider info that was like out there, and then all of a sudden it became real, and then it became canon at that point in time.
Yeah, right. It is canon.
I mean, honestly, that scene was, I believe it was Favreau who said, well, I have the 501st.
Filoni. It was Filoni says that. Well, I've got
their number.
I got their number. I can call them. I remember talking to some of the guys who were a part of that crew, and they were talking about it. It was just the most crazy, super secret thing that ever happened. It was like they just put this message out on the local, like the forums that they have, and said, if you have a stormtrooper costume, a clean stormtrooper costume, be at this address on this day at this time. And there was no other information. It's like, what are we doing? I can't tell you, can't say. Just you either bring your kid if you want to be a part of something, and that's all we can tell you. And so
it could have been a serial killer.
It could have been a serial killer. I mean, but it wasn't, thankfully. But it was that was literally how it went down.
That was
like
Obi-Wan reversing the distress signal, luring stormtroopers to cut them down instead of at the Jedi Temple.
But that was kind of how it went down. It was like they were like, well, this has to be a big deal, and you know, and people were pretty smart. They started looking up addresses, going, well, this is kind of like a, you know, a set, so this is an opportunity. And they had no idea what they were walking into and what they were going to be a part of at the time. They just knew that they needed a bunch of stormtroopers, which you and I have a little bit of history with that call going out as well. So
we do, and I'm curious, with the strict security we had to get through at Universal, do you just— they didn't have names of people. If this was that loose, you know, how do you imagine driving up to a studio and saying, hey, I'm here for the meeting, wink.
Yeah. I have a feeling that,
hey, it's clean, wink.
Yeah, it was something more along the lines of that, you know, either they got there and somebody met them at a certain location and said, all right, here's where we're going, like kind of parked in the general parking area and said, all right, we're going to talk to you all, and here's where you're going. Here's your NDA, and sign that, and here we go. Because I know they all did that. They all had to sign an NDA before they were even allowed on set, and they couldn't talk about anything until they did the reveal at Celebration. So,
how cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes what we were involved in just seem so...
Yeah. It was still fun, but never saw the light of day. Like, these guys actually saw the light of day. We saw
them. There's no going around that being cut from, you know, the episode.
Have you guys ever signed a Star Wars NDA?
Yes.
Indeed.
Have you framed it?
No, because you don't get to keep it.
Well, I'd ask for a copy. Just say, hey, I would like a copy of that so I can frame it and say, this is what I signed, and I kept my word.
Yeah. Everything's redacted except your signature.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all e-signature now.
Yeah, it is. I don't even remember how we did it back in the day. If it was, or maybe we signed it when we got there. I don't even know.
I think it was before.
Was it before? Might have been.
I think it was when a dark van pulled up to my house right across from UNC Gunter Hall and took my kit that was each piece individually wrapped in a T-shirt.
Yes.
To prevent damage. What was I thinking? I mean,
I don't know.
Yeah.
It was fine.
It was fine.
It was a lot of extra. It was, made it very heavy.
Yeah.
Anyhow, and Bobby, you are the squad leader now in the Snowy Range squad. Is that true?
I am. And
wow.
How things changed.
Scott, have you used the old Vader line to Obi-Wan? When I first met you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master.
Nope, not at all. not at all. I love the fact that we get new members all the time, and it brings a level of excitement and new blood and enthusiasm into the group. And, you know, we know that for all the years that I was CO, that it's like, you know, you don't want an old crotchety old guy running things, and so it's good to change it up.
Learned that from Star Wars.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
Some crotchety old guy running the universe, and look what happened.
Yeah, you can't let that go on for too long, otherwise everybody gets old and crotchety. So
and he just keeps coming back.
Yeah,
he does.
Mm-hmm. Unlike me, because I'm not coming.
He says that, but we don't know what M counts have been done and what's going on in the
not at all
vast stretches of Scott's Star Wars basement.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
The largest private collection, of in Weld County.
Yes.
It's on Google Maps, yes?
I don't know yet. I might have to figure out how to get that. I'm a little bit afraid of people just like showing up and wanting to see it.
Yeah, I would be. Yeah, I can't imagine your bride would be very pleased at, you know, a family vacation just popping in some summer afternoon.
I could see Cody taking tickets.
I could see Cody selling tickets. And
as a docent?
That could be, yeah, maybe. We'll have to train him up on a few of the things. But sure, we could do that.
Oh, it's glad to have you, Bobby. Scott was fortunate enough to help me start the massive undertaking of rearranging my garage, but it is going to be soon in a position to maybe have an armor party or two.
Oh, there we go.
Because not only is Cody interested in building a new TK, that's a stormtrooper, but PK, Patrick Kind, is going to convert his stormtrooper to a Sandy and build a new TK. So he texted me the other night, hey, what do you got going on this summer? Like, I work. He's like, do you have time to help me build another TK? Like, yeah. He's like, but do you really have time? Yeah. I said, no. Honestly, if we schedule, we can bust that out in a weekend.
Yep.
Right, if we plan properly and get the right gang over. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd be happy to host and barbecue. I just got a brand new Blackstone that can cook about 70 hamburgers at once, I think.
Yeah.
All right. Ish. Good. So, armor party at Nick's.
Well, can I come over and help?
My Rex.
As a Star Trek fan.
Sure.
Can I come over and help? But do I have to sign an NDA since I'm a Trekkie?
No.
No, we just flog you in the green space next to my house.
That's really sad. You don't need to flog him. Maybe he'll become more of a Star Wars fan if he just gets accepted and, you know, welcomed instead of being flogged.
Yeah, you're right.
That's right.
Yeah,
I think that's what we should do.
I'm sorry I went to violence, Micah.
Yeah, violence is not the answer.
I heard the Trek part.
Yeah, you'll be all right. It's okay.
But we could get you a costume by the end of the weekend. You could be a great X-Wing pilot.
We could make that happen.
Can I have the X-Wing?
No, but we know people. We could get you in it.
Yeah.
I have a stadium in Las Vegas I'd like to destroy.
Which one?
The one where the Raiders are in. And when the Raiders are playing the Chiefs, I'd like to destroy it then.
That's...
It's something.
That's a double
whammy.
That's
just a joke, guys.
I was just going to flog him. I was going to take an X-Wing out to Vegas and take out a whole arena.
Hey, I would say if he could fly it, you know, help yourself, Micah. I feel like that there's more skill needed than any of us have to fly an X-Wing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Not just a joystick from the old games.
Right. Yeah.
Well, stay tuned for more of the Nerd Show. We'll be back talking more nerdy after this break.
How was my TIE Fighter impression?
Welcome back to the Nerd Show. Scott's here. Mike is behind the glass. Bobby Johnson joining us in studio. And I'm Nick Kenny. This past weekend... Well, let's talk cinema for a moment. Once that the COVID hit, theaters had been – the industry has been hurting. And then direct-to-streaming has impacted. And 2023, in spite of the stock market and what that did as far as a rallying cry after the crazy 2022, they still weren't back to pre-pandemic levels of people going to movies. And so far with – and they don't think this year, 2024, will – outpaced last year because of Barbie and Oppenheimer coming out at the same time. And Barbie has now made over $1 billion. But this weekend was kind of a surprise. We had Dune 2 come out a few weekends ago, and in that opening weekend hit $82 million. Vastly outperforming expectations was Godzilla X Kong that opened with $80 million. And I'm flummoxed. One, I love Godzilla, always have. Been a fan since my dad recorded them on VHS from, you know, the old sci-fi TV, you know, station channel. I'm sure it's still there. $80 million, though. Only $2 million behind Dune, which I thought had like a pretty huge cult following. And Godzilla X Kong, with only $2 million under that in opening weekend, I'm just flabbergasted and excited.
That was a really monstrous opening weekend.
It was.
Well done, Micah. That was pretty nice. Good. That was better than any alliteration that you've done on this episode. So
false, but
that's because the Mr. Alliteration right there is illiterate.
I don't think that's true, but okay.
So anyway,
I do wonder if spring break might have had something to do with it in the kids.
Or Easter weekend, maybe?
I'm sure it didn't hurt. I mean, I think about it. I know when I saw it, there were probably only 30 or so people in the theaters, but it was it was early on a Friday. So I imagine that it was busier here in Greeley, but it was a monster movie.
It was. And it was one of the better ones. I know, Bobby, you haven't seen it and you want to, so we'll have no spoilers here. It was one thing about Godzilla and the Kong movies. I loved Skull Island. I thought that was appropriate. Yep. And it just reminds humans we are incredibly ineffective when it comes down to these monsters or these titans. And part of what bothers me about Transformers and even some of these movies so far have been the human engagement and interaction. There's nothing humans can do when Optimus Prime sets his sight on taking down Megatron and vice versa.
Right.
Same thing with Godzilla. Nothing's going to stop Godzilla. Now the moment where they, put a nuke by his heart and EKG?
They kind of, jumpstart. I mean, but
that
I think
was
to
neat.
I think to your point, and to quote the illustrious Blue Oyster Cult, that history shows again and again how nature points out the folly of men. So, I mean, that's really what, most of these films are kind of about. And we see kind of that element of tampering and trying to get involved. So
it was shockingly entertaining where humans played less of a role and just kind of enhanced where the monsters are. I just think it was pretty well done. There's a lot more backstory they could have gone to, especially with the TV series that had just come out. I expected a little bit more just interconnections of that story they'd introduced with Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
And they didn't, but it was still entertaining enough. And, $80 million, only $2 million behind Dune, which still has me flabbergasted.
So I'm curious, did you recognize the head of security that got eaten when they were in Hollow Earth?
Oh, yes. He was the how could you forget that accent?
Yeah, I know.
He was from Andor.
He was from, Andor.
He was Scottish or Irish. Yeah. I don't want to offend anybody because I'm...
Oh, Scottish.
Very Scottish. Yeah. Who was very gung-ho.
Yes.
Corsac?
Yeah.
The security that he led the detail. Mm-hmm. He was a fun character.
Yeah, he was. And I thought it was fun to see him in something else. I had a hard time not, seeing him in the Andor costume and everything else. But, I think I wanted a little bit more depth into kind of how they figure out they've got to, work together. I was surprised. Hopefully I'm not giving away too many spoiler alerts. I don't know, Micah, can you spoiler alert for us? I feel like probably it's deserved.
Spoiler alert.
I was a little bit shocked that they resurrected Mothra. I was not expecting that, but that was apparently the only way that, Godzilla was going to pay attention is that Mothra shows up and says, hey, knock it off.
Do they have a fling?
I do not think that they have a fling. It's more of a symbiotic relationship, and, she kind of is the... kind of the guide for, Godzilla being the apex predator, and he's kind of that big titan, and she's sort of that much more in touch with the things that are going on and is able to provide some guidance in that regard.
I always liked her in the original movies because they always had really pretty Japanese girls controlling her and singing to her.
Yes.
And, they talk about Mothra, and I was shocked too, and I like that. I really did, because at first, with the trailers, it's just fighting another ape, and then it's, okay.
Yeah.
And I like the layers. It was like an onion or a delicious cake of the complexity of the story.
Yeah.
But Mothra being that balance of what's happening in Hollow Earth, but also you know, that physical realm that Godzilla rules over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was entertaining.
Yeah, and to go back to something you were talking about with the whole series that we had with Monarch, I am having trouble figuring out. So, are there certain portals into Hollow Earth that humans can just like jump into and they'll survive and they end up in Hollow Earth, and other ones that they would get just completely destroyed if they tried to jump through? Because, I mean, that was kind of the whole, you know, Godzilla versus Kong. That was the premise, that they had to create this super technologically advanced, you know, heave, I think is what they called them, in order to be able to manage their way through the gravitational influx and all the other things. And then in Monarch, we have multiple times where they just kind of jump through the hole and they're okay. And, you know, even the Titans are able to do that. And the whole concept of the time differential that Monarch played up, which I thought was great, doesn't really come into effect here either. And so there's some elements that I wish they would have gotten their storage straight, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. Were they the same studios for Monarch and Godzilla X Kong or Godzilla V Kong? Or
I don't.
That's a good question.
I don't know. But
it seems like two stories that they want to collide and to enhance one another, but it still seems very clunky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everything about this whole revamp of this MonsterVerse, Godzilla originally with what's his name from Breaking Bad, was the largest revenue generator of these monster films so far. I mean, it was a kickoff after a number of years, 2001 or so, that had the Godzilla in New York. Mm-hmm. One of the coolest looking Godzillas, by the way, I think, was that one. However, I lost my train of thought. I was just talking too much.
Clunky.
Oh, yeah. And same with Godzilla, King of the Monsters. So you have all these titans emerging seemingly out of nowhere. And then you have Skull Island, which, I mean, to me, that's still one of the coolest movies. I mean, you have a great cast and a pretty cool story and a concept. To then Godzilla versus Kong, which is still pretty good and ties in, you know, I don't know. I think, what's left to tell after this story?
I think there's a lot. I mean, I think I've heard that there's going to be a sequel to Godzilla Minus One, which I would love to see, because Godzilla Minus One was phenomenal. And I would love to see a follow-up to that. I think it deserves it. It was a really great, you know, movie. It was a great Godzilla movie, and you kind of...
It's still not out anywhere yet. I still can't see it.
I don't know.
Don't know what to tell you. I saw it in the theaters, and it was phenomenal.
Dang it.
Should have gone to the theaters, Nick.
Should have gone to the theaters, Nick.
I know. Bobby, you want to say it too? Everyone else is ganging up on me.
Oh, yeah. Nick, you should have gone to the theater.
Well, I'll think about this during our break.
Yes.
Shame on you.
We'll come back. Stay tuned for more of The Nerd Show. We'll be right back.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to The Nerd Show. We've covered some Star Wars and some Bad Batch, introducing our special guest, Bobby Johnson, and just wrapped up a bit about Godzilla X Kong.
Yes.
Godzilla times Kong.
Mm-hmm. Godzilla
and Kong.
X Kong. Yeah, it just, I don't quite know what they're trying to get with that title.
I think they were hinting that they were in a relationship and then they fell out. So they're exes,
possibly. There's it's kind of like
they were
the
in
naming
a relationship, and then they decided to break up and see other titans, and And now they're been thrown back together in a really awkward like social event. They're just not really sure.
And then they remembered that Remember the Titans.
Yeah.
The Titans that they wanted to see was not in theaters, mm-hmm. and they had to rent it, and they're like, "Oh, streaming platform. I don't know which one to pay for."
Yeah. Well, speaking of streaming platforms and Zack Snyder, the next chapter of Rebel Moon is supposed to be out here in the next few months. And I am not too sure what I think about it.
Was it the lightsaber?
I think that's part of it. It seems like it's just sort of, you know, really?
Isn't it supposed to be a rated R Star Wars, though?
That was sort of what was discussed, that was what they were going to do. But I just, it is so blatantly obvious stealing so much from Star Wars that I'm just like, you know, what do you, I mean, and they kind of kill the bad guy, but he's not quite dead. And so he's resurrected. And so he's going to keep coming back. And now he's stronger than ever. And it's just like, how many overt Star Wars ripoffs are we going to get out of this? And then, you know, do this show. So I'm not really sure about it. I am way more excited and interested into, you know, Fallout's coming out. That looks fun. I think that's going to be good. Three Body Problem has been phenomenal.
You said you were, when you texted me the other day, you're three episodes into it?
Actually, I'm like almost five episodes into it now. And oh my gosh, it's a
I'm zero episodes into it.
It's a great thriller.
I'm excited.
Yeah, it's super good. I really like it. And I have to say, you know, the very last episode of Halo actually was the best episode of the entire series.
So just watch that?
I think that for everybody who's played the game, you watch the final episode and it will be, okay, this makes sense. And I'm going to watch it because, you know, really the whole premise around the Halo video game is, you know, you have the Covenant and they're trying to get to Halo. But what we find is that the Forebearers had found a way to contain this organism called the Flood that literally takes over every organism, living organism there is, and it corrupts it. And at the very last episode, they find this, you know, chamber where they realize that, oh, there's something that this scientist was holding on to, was trying to protect. And that's really what the Halos were designed for. It was designed to be a place of sanctity, but it was also designed to destroy all life in the universe, if necessary, if the Flood ever got out and spread. And that was really the big premise of the video game was, you know, fighting against the Flood in that regard. And so I think it all of a sudden it was like, oh, well, this now makes sense. I understand this.
They didn't just build an ark?
No.
Doesn't work a second time.
Yeah,
huh?
The Ark of the Covenant, is that what you were going with?
Noah's Ark.
Noah's Ark?
Flood.
Yeah, Flood. Yeah, no, completely different kind of Flood. But yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. I just like playing Master Chief and blowing stuff up.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people were really upset that Master Chief kept taking off his helmet and taking off his armor, and they humanized him.
Well, that was in his contract.
And he wanted it because he wanted to be seen. And they did a better job in the first season of making them larger than life. And in the second season, somehow they just must have decided, hey, we're not going to worry about the scaling problem so much. So we're going to make them more like just, you know, they're just tall people. Mm. And they had, you know, tall actors and actresses playing, you know, the Spartans. But they weren't 7.5, 8-foot characters like they were that you're used to and you're expecting to seeing in this regard. So I think that there was some generalities that they played off, and there was some creative license that they took in the show that just didn't work, and it made a lot of Halo fans angry. But I think the final episode would have been the best thing to kind of, if you really want to like it, you just watch the last episode and you're like, okay, that works. All right. I'm in now.
So kind of the Avatar thing, right?
A little bit. Yeah. It was like, wow. Yeah. And, you know, and they were supposed to be, because, I mean, we always knew that Master Chief was like 7.5 feet tall and he was just huge. And, you know, he's barely taller than a lot of the, you know, like when he's talking to Perengoski, it's like, you know, you can tell she's five, you know, she's 5'5", 5'6", and he's 6'4". So it's like there's not a lot of difference there. It should be much more evident and obvious. And it just wasn't. So
seeing
could have done better.
More movies that I had in theaters lately. There's one that I'm really excited about, also based on a video game, Borderlands.
Yeah.
I played the game maybe a couple times in grad school with some, you know, friends, mm-hmm. and we did LAN parties or whatnot. But the cast looks incredible. And I mean, truly, I think Jack Black is the little robot.
Right?
But they've got, I'm going to forget their names, but a pretty all-star cast. Are we in the golden age of video games being converted to movies?
It sure feels like it.
I think so.
And I don't know if I should say golden age with Halo having the ups and downs. But we had, you know, I won't say just video games either, because we Dungeons and Dragons was a pretty good,
yeah.
entertaining film based on games. We have Borderlands coming out. Again, I wasn't a huge fan of that game, but I really like the cast, and it looks to be entertaining.
I mean, just looking online, it's like you've got Cate Blanchett, Kevin Hart, Jack Black, Edgar Ramirez, Ariana Greenblatt, Bobby Lee, Florian Montanu, I can't remember how to say that, Gina Gershon, and Jamie Lee Curtis. Jamie Lee, I mean, that is a great ensemble that you got there. And so I think that what we're learning, I mean, we got from Halo and some of the other ones, that there is a market, there's an audience out there that wants to see this, and I like it because we're not rebooting something or we're going back to the well of something that's already been done. And because there is so many different video games that have been out there that have almost a cult-like following.
Last of Us.
I mean, I think you've got a great example of that. Yeah, The Last of Us, that's fantastic. Another great one, mm-hmm. where we've leveraged some fandom to create a great story arc that you can navigate through. And with, you know, kind of this story arc in these video games that are playing, why not, you know,
absolutely.
Put it in film? You create it that way.
Instead of going back and doing like The Crow again, which they shouldn't touch.
Yes.
They are.
I know.
Yeah, although, you know.
Crowning.
Yeah, The Crowning.
The Crows Have Eyes.
The Crows Have Eyes 3. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, maybe that's what they should do.
Can you imagine Moira Rose? I would go to the movies for that before I go back and watch The Crow.
Yeah, I will not go see The Crow just on principle alone, because I feel like that's one of those sacred things you just don't go back to.
And don't mess with that.
With the story and what happened to Jason Lee on set, it's like, no, we should never touch that one again. You know, just leave it alone, and we move on and we find something else.
There's been a few of those that
agreed.
You know. Also, the music for a 90s movie
was phenomenal.
Actually pretty good.
It was a great soundtrack.
Nine Inch Nails, The Cure.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about the original score.
Oh, and that too.
Well done, though, Bobby. You were it's like Remember the Titans. That has won a very good score, but also a great soundtrack to it with the music selections they had.
Yeah.
Well, Bobby, thank you so much for being on The Nerd Show. You're welcome back anytime. And until next week, Nerdians, I guess stay nerdy.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.